This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's good to have with me today here on BPNRadio.com on the Wednesday Watch, a man that hosts the program every weekday on BPNRadio.com, 11:55 a.m., and every Tuesday, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Roy Beard, it's good to have you on with me today. Do we have an emergency in America? Is this an emergency, or is this just a false alarm?
No, it's an emergency. It's absolutely an emergency. Hosea 4:6 said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And Amos 8:11 said, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, that when I'll send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." That's our problem. We're not hearing what God's saying. Or if we're hearing it, we're ignoring it, and we're adopting the que sera, sera attitude that it's sad, Dale. I'm running into people more and more all the time that are saying, "Well, we've always survived, and we're going to survive." That's not true. If we don't do what God says and follow 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's going to be more than an emergency. Mm-hmm. It's going to be catastrophic what's mm-hmm. happening in America. But I don't want to be negative in that, because I know God can't. God gave us the election in 2016.
I believe that.
God wants to do it again. He gave us a window of opportunity. I felt like it was 2 years. I'm beginning to wonder if it's less than that, mm-hmm. if we don't wake up. Mm-hmm. And sadly, the church is asleep. Too much of the church is absolutely asleep, and that's alarming to me.
Why is the church asleep?
Well, I think that it's multiple reasons. One of the reasons is that we've gotten secure and satisfied having our own little thing. And I have people tell me, preachers, I've had people that are involved in church, heavily involved in church, tell me, and some, I've even had one or two of them unfriend me on Facebook because they said, "You're too political, and mm-hmm. that's not God's way, and God wants us to just totally talk about Him and leave the politics to the politician." Well, I don't find that scriptural, and I don't find that realistic, because if we just leave the politics to the politician, mm-hmm. they've already demonstrated the willingness to take prayer out of schools, mm-hmm. to give us abortion on demand, mm-hmm. to restrict our rights. In fact, the state of California has a situation right now where they're proposing a bill. I don't know the status of it at this point, but I know that it was proposed that it would be illegal to write any book, have any article, have any program or any service, a gathering that offered an alternative to people in a gay lifestyle, same-sex attraction. If you wanted to bring them relief and freedom from that, then that would be illegal. Mm-hmm. It would also be illegal to address anybody that had the same gender identity issues. If they do that, then they silence the church. They mm-hmm. absolutely silence the church legally. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is that when pastors ignore that, if they do, and I pray they will, then they'll go to jail or pay fines. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a church that's ignoring what's going on. It's almost like we buried our head in the sand, and we don't understand what's going on, and we're not hearing the warnings of God. God has given warning in every generation of something that's happening, and those that heeded the warning we're able to rise up and prevail. We can prevail. God is not a defeated God. He is more. We are more than conquerors through Him. Yeah. He is the living God, and I love that. What Israel always referred to God as, He is the living God. And that brought terror to the hearts of their enemies because they knew that their God wasn't living God. They were man-made. But while we've got a situation today, Dale, where people are, they don't want confrontation. They don't want to be involved. They want to live in their little mind utopia. And there is no utopia. Persecution's coming. Difficulties are coming. The last days, the Bible said, would be perilous. Mm-hmm. And if we want to stay the hand of judgment and to see people born into the kingdom, we're going to have to become involved in every aspect of life. Yes, preach the gospel. Yes, talk about Jesus. But you also need to be talking about what's going on in everyday life.
Well,
and apply the Bible to that.
I agree with you, Roy. And some people said, well, what is the emergency? The emergency is that we are at war. And there is a war against our sons and daughters. You know, Nehemiah, they've already celebrated the rebuilding of the wall. And, but the parents begin to give their daughters, their sons and daughters to another group of people. And Nehemiah grabs them and he cusses them out. The Bible said he cursed them and he struck some of them, pulled out their hair, made them swear by God, saying, "You shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters, for your sons are yourselves." And so he called for action, and that was, God is love, and Nehemiah knew the love of God, but he knew that there was a war going on, and he had to speak to the parents. And and earlier he spoke to the leaders about the war that was going on. And I believe that we are in a full-fledged, not militarily or naturally, but we are in a spiritual warfare for the heart and soul of this nation. And if God knew that we were not going to be a people of war, why did He give us the weapons of our warfare? Why did He have Paul to talk about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through right. God to the pulling down of stronghold? Why did we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit? Why are we watching for the saints and praying in the Holy Ghost? He knew that there would be a war that would go right. on. And somebody said, well, the war's been going on forever since Lucifer was cast out of heaven. That is true. But we know that the Bible says in the last days that Satan would come down in great wrath. In other words, he would take all of his forces. There would be an all-out war. And so many Christians or so many churches, so many pastors or leaders, I don't believe comprehend what is going on, that Satan is out to destroy the last line of defense, which is the church and the family. And so he's after Amen. The pastors. Many pastors, thousands of pastors are leaving the ministry every year. And we know there's a war against the fathers trying to break their yes. authority in the home. There is yes. There is a war against our sons and daughters, and they are in a full gauged war, not only in our colleges and universities, our high schools and middle schools, but even in elementary, even in the elementary schools.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
Know that that children, even in kindergarten, you yes. were talking about California. It's been reported that a California teacher who introduced her kindergarten class to transgenderism was named Teacher of the Year in California. Can you believe that?
No.
A kindergarten class teacher who introduced transgenderism to her students was named Teacher of the Year in the state of California. We especially have to pray for people that are living in California. We have a lot of listeners in California. There is a major war going on. In our schools. So even in kindergarten, so every pastor must realize there is a war against your church. Every father must understand there is a war against your family, and every father and mother must realize there's a war against your sons and daughters. And there, so we are in a full-fledged war. We know that America is on the verge of having a government-controlled media, just like they have in Russia and other other communist nations, where the government literally controls. Well, in this way, it wouldn't be the White House, but it'd be some type of government-controlled. So most of that is happening right now. All of the news media stations are reading on cue what has been given to them. And there's only a few conservative talk show hosts left in America. And Laura Ingraham, you know, she has stepped aside for a few days because she has lost so many sponsors because of just one or two statements. So, you know, there is a war being waged on anybody speaking out, declaring what they see, what they hear. But I know that on BPNradio.com that we are a prayer station, and we are one that proclaims what we see and hear. So today, I just believe there's a warning out for the church, and the church must pray, and there's a warning against the family. There's a warning for every Christian what is going on in America, that we need to be alert. And do you believe that we're living in Judges 21:15, Roy, which says, and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes?
Right.
Are we there yet? Are we just coming there? Are we there?
If we're not fully there, we will be shortly, because that's where we're going. The war that's going on is a more dangerous war than if it were a shooting war, military-type war.
Yeah.
Because it's dealing with the heart, it's dealing with the mind, it's dealing with the soul. And what tragic to me is I've had pastors say to me, in fact, I had one tell me, I can't let you speak to my people because you're controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really? Jesus was pretty controversial, and he said, I've got Democrats and Republicans in my church. I said, here's the thing. If you don't want me to speak, I won't speak. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing you need to realize, is that you have a responsibility to tell the people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility to warn them of things the government is doing or proposing, politicians are proposing, that are anti-moral, anti-family, anti-biblical, anti-traditional family, that are basically anti-everything we believe in and stand for. And if you don't do that because of fear that you might offend somebody on one side of the aisle or the other, then you are placing those people in jeopardy. And I said, do you really want to be there? He said, well, I do the best I can. I can appreciate that. But sometimes we have to do more than the best we can, and we have to just say, hey, I've come into the kingdom for such a time as this, and if I'm destroyed, I'm destroyed. We need to be like the three Hebrew children,
mm-hmm.
that says, King, we know God can, and we believe God will. But if he doesn't, we're still not bowing to your image. We're still not going to follow Baal. We're still not going to do it that way. We need to get to that place in the Holy Spirit. And I'm convinced when we do, oh, yeah, some of us may go home early, but that we'll also turn the tide for some others that will take up the gauntlet and run with it. And God's army will rise up. And we need to stir the church up. I'm almost at the point now to where I say, I'm not sure we can stir the politicians up, but if we stir the church up and get the church to praying, we can pull down strongholds and we can turn this tide, because God's done it before, and I believe he'll do it again.
Yeah, what he's done before, he will. And I believe that the last line of defense in our nation is the church and the home. And if Satan can destroy, he won't destroy the church, but he will destroy local churches if he possibly can,
right.
by dividing and conquering the same thing to the family. And you know, I know there is a spirit. I'm thankful for every pastor that is standing, that is serving their congregation. You and I both have been, you know, we were pastors way back when, and we have both given our years to the ministry. And I know that you and I pastored the same church, a little town in Oklahoma, way back in the way back in the 70s. Yeah. And so we have not learned it all, but we're not Johnny come latelys. And right. we have been through a few wars, we've seen a few things, and we understand that that we cannot be neutral. I mean, we cannot be if the fight comes, we got to know who our enemy is and what we're fighting for. I mean, what are we fighting for in America? We're fighting for religious freedoms, the freedom to gather right. and assemble in churches on Sunday morning where preachers can preach the gospel without fear of imprisonment or being jailed or the lawsuits, children being taken. We're fighting for our families, our sons and daughters. We are fighting for our fellow brothers and sisters, particularly young Christians that are not very experienced. And therefore, can we afford, Roy, to be neutral? Can we afford to be impartial, unbiased, unprejudiced, objective, equitable, open-minded, nonpartisan, disinterested, dispassionate, detached, impersonal, unemotional, indifferent, uncommitted? Can we afford to be neutral?
No. We cannot. Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I know what he was talking about, but he's talking about everything. He's talking about life. I don't believe that God wants us to be dispassionate. I don't believe he wants us to be to where we're saying, oh, well, I live and let live. Let everybody do their own thing. Mm-hmm. I had a person tell me, well, you're trying to force people to accept God. I said, no, I'm not. But let me ask you this. If you believed a house was on fire, would you try to warn people in that house? He said, of course I would, because they're in danger. I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to tell people the house is on fire. The house of our government's on fire. The house of America's on fire. And if we don't warn the people to come out to safety and grab the water bucket and start pulling water on that fire, then we're going to see the whole country burn down. And I don't want to see that, and I don't believe anybody else does. That's what we need to do in the church. We don't have to stand up and make it a political sermon in the sense that we're saying, well, you know, this group's good, this group's bad. Let's just tell the truth. Tell mm-hmm. what's happening. Tell what's being presented. Yeah. Tell the dangers of it. Tell how that it's anti-biblical, how it goes against what God said. And we need them to be like Peter and the disciples when the Sanhedrin had them and say, who are we going to obey? Are we going to obey God or man? I'm sorry, church, if you want to send me down the road, you've got to send me down the road. But I'm going to tell you the truth as I see it, because I love you enough to tell you the truth.
I agree, Roy. And, you know, the church cannot be asleep at the wheel. And, you know, you and I have pastored local churches. We've been in the ministry for many, many years. And I believe that it's time that the church wakes up out of their slumber. You know, I believe it. We're living in a time of, you know, the 10 virgins. One, five were wise, five were yes. foolish. And the five foolish were the ones that slumbered. And the church, so many churches, I believe, in America, and not all the churches are slumbering and sleeping while the enemy continues to gain ground. Somebody said, why is this emergency? Well, you know, we could refer to a lot of things that's going on in America, like a law in New York, the state of New York, that is being considered now, that will greatly expand the abortion bill in the state of New York, that will allow abortions up until the time of birth, even, listen to this, Roy, even including death outside the womb. In other words, if they don't like the gender of their baby, once they come out of the womb, they will be allowed to kill the baby. Somebody says, well, that is not possible. Well, we know that history repeats itself. Remember Moses?
Yeah.
Up to two right. years of age. The leader, the president, said we're going to kill all these kill all these male child these boys up to 2 years of age. Can this happen again, where parents can exterminate their children up to 2 years of age? It's happened before, and some, you know, if we give the devil, the powers of darkness, an inch, of course he'll take a mile. Of course he will. So somebody said, well, we've got to remain neutral. We've got to we just got to preach the love of Jesus. Well, I agree with that. God is love. We know that. But what if somebody, as you said, comes in to try to take your son or daughter out of their bedroom during the night? Are you just going to say, well, God is love, I love you, and I pray for you? No, no, no. You're going to fight. You will fight.
Absolutely.
You know, there was, you probably heard the report of this man that came into Walmart recently wielding a machete, and he was going to take this woman's baby. Well, she began to fight and resist him because there was a war going on. And we must
Absolutely.
Understand as Christians that there is a war going on, and that we must know how to do spiritual warfare. And we can pray. You know, I get up in the morning and I attempt to give God the first hour of my day, but I know the real power and authority of the church, of the early church, which is our example, which is our mentor, was the power of the church was they got together and prayed.
Yes.
Corporate prayer. And, you know, Roy,
I
look back, Gene and I led extended, protracted prayer revivals, everything centered around prayer for over eight years. And some of those would last weeks at a time with people coming at 5:42 in the morning and 5:42 in the afternoon. Sometimes we would have hundreds of people coming 5:42 in the morning, and a revival that I led in Fort Worth went for 24 weeks where people were coming morning and afternoon and evening. Sometimes they'd stay there for hours, and somebody said, well, that was just in the past. But I'm telling you, we had some incredible changes that happened in the 90s when people were praying. Now, it's very difficult to get people to come out and pray. And
right.
But I believe it's the power of the church. I believe there's only one solution. I believe there's only one remedy. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. So is there a remedy? There is a remedy, and the remedy
Absolutely.
Is prayer.
And the, yes,
and,
it is.
And the other remedy is that the priest who stand between the people and the altar begin to declare what they see, what they hear, and begin to pray about certain issues that are happening in the church today. Should we be alarmed? Yeah, we should be alarmed when 160 people are dying every day. Every day as a result of these illegal drugs that are taking place, and some prescription
right.
drugs. And, 160 people are dying every day as a result of these opioids that is happening in America. So we have a drug-induced society, and not only drug-induced by pills, medication, illegal drugs, but they're also are being drunken with all of the things that are happening on media. Can you imagine all the media sites that are going on, and people don't even feel like they need to attend church anymore because they can tune in to their favorite preacher and hear them? And I'm thankful that we have those privileges. And then, but they watch some people that not even don't know much about Jesus, but they're trying to get a following. I mean, it's crazy. People are being consumed, and our children. I know that I'm kind of on a high horse today, but I'm saying these things with exclamation points. They say that the average child in America is now spending 7 hours in front of their television screen, in front of their games, in front of their internet screen, 7 hours a day. What is happening? What are they watching? What is being taught? What is going on?
Right.
Is this an emergency?
Right. It is an emergency. The Lord spoke to my heart recently, and I was crying out to the Lord for America and other issues. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? He said, do you believe me? Do you believe what I said? I said, yes. He said, does the church believe what I said? And I said, well, yes, it does. He said, show me where they're doing it. Show me where they're standing on what I'm saying. Show me where they're taking my word and standing on it and saying, if I perish, I perish. And I said, well, I'm not sure I can show you that. He said, that's where you need to come to, is where you take me at my word. And if you'll pray my word, if you'll stand on my word, and then you'll get up and do what you know to do, I will turn this tide. And I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm not as concerned today. I'm concerned, very concerned about the politician. But just like you talk about abortion, killing the baby outside the womb, what kind of inhumane doctor would kill a baby that was living? What kind of soulless person would do that? Well, we have that kind of same kind of people in politics. We have that same kind of people in media. We have that same kind of people in activism throughout the country. Sadly, we have people in the church that are willing to turn a blind eye. I can't turn a blind eye, Dale. I can't do it. I have to cry out what I see. And there's danger. There is alarm. It is an emergency. We are on the brink of losing this republic. And if we lose this republic, the world is plunged into a terrible state of darkness and chaos. And God's coming. Jesus is returning. There is going to be problems, but at the same time, there's going to be a massive, mighty, incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's several things fixing to happen. We need to pray for the president and his family, because there's going to be, and I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if it's a physical attack. I don't know if it's a legal attack. I don't know if it's what it is. But there's going to be a new attack on some member of the Trump family, maybe himself, but it's going to be catastrophic. The attack is going to be unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Robert Mueller is going to find something. He just said recently, Trump is not, he's not being a criminal. I'm not looking at him as under a criminal investigation. That's not the truth. That's what Comey said. That's what others have said.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Judge Napolitano that if Trump meets with Mueller, he needs to meet with him and let his lawyers do his talking for him, because they're not looking for collusion. They're looking for anything at all that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other things that's going to happen is God is about to do an incredible shaking in this land, in the church, in the government, in the land. And it's going to be the hand of God moving to bring us to revival. And a lot of people are going to mistake what it is. And some of the churches are going to back off even further.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I didn't have to say that, but I'm saying that. But I'm telling you, that invisible body of Christ is about to rise up, and we are about to see a revival like we've never seen before.
I believe
and
that.
You're going to be a part of it, my friend.
I believe that God is turning the tide. Just one case in point. I have a friend whose name is Keith Hudson. I used to preach for him in California. Back in the 80s, and he had a little girl named Katie Hudson. She goes now by Katy Perry. And I have prayed with Katy Perry when she was a little girl. And Keith Hudson has been requesting prayer for his daughter, Katy Perry, who's been in the limelight now for a number of years. And he keeps saying, I want you to pray for my daughter. He said, don't judge her, pray for her. Well, we've been praying for Katy Perry because she has such tremendous influence, particularly among millennials in America. And recently I read where Katy came out in the last few days telling Glamour magazine that she's been embarking on a spiritual journey over the last couple of months, saying that she's preparing to do a big soul overhaul. She said, I want to emotionally elevate myself. I don't want to hold on to childhood trauma anymore. I want to grow into becoming an adult. She said that she shared that she had been dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts, but said she was able to pull through by the grace of God. She said, I do believe in something much bigger than me, and I call that God for me. She said, I know that God has his hand on me. I know sometimes I go through things and they're just too intense and I can't handle them, and he swoops in, shows me that it's his grace that brings me through. And Her parents have asked Christians to pray for Katie. She struggled with questions of faith. But I believe that that is a testimony of a turn. I believe that's what's happening in America. Yes. I know, Roy, that neither you nor I want to say it's all doom and gloom. We do want to blow the trumpet, but we do want to declare that there is a remedy, and we need to guard. We need to stay on guard. I mean, I believe that we are reenacting the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah looked, he saw that the walls have been burned down, the gates have been burned with fire, the walls have been broken down, the gates have been burned with fire. I believe that's what's happening spiritually and literally in America. But he knew there was hope, and he called the people, which represent the intercessors, those who know how to do spiritual warfare, the churches that know how to pray, and they began to embark on this journey of rebuilding the walls, resetting the gates, 24 hours a day. There were 24-hour prayer watches that Amen. Were set in motion. I believe that there will come a day that on bpnradio.com we will be hosting 24-hour prayer watches because I'm just whatever God wants us to do, that's what I want to do. But, you Amen. Know, there was a war going on out there. They did not. Yes, they did not rebuild the wall. They did not replace the gates without combat, without those that were outside wanting them to compromise. Come and let's sit down in the. How stupid! Come and sit down and let's meet in this place called Ono. And Nehemiah said, no, I'm not meeting there. There'll be no compromise. So that's what the devil wants every pastor right. to do is go into neutral. Neutral, we're not going to get in reverse. We're not going to get in drive. We're going to stay in neutral. But we know that if we stand setting still, we're going to be devoured. So
absolutely.
We must respond. We must not go to the place of, oh, no. And we must declare what is happening. We must declare Amen. What is happening. We know that Satan wants to make an entrance into the church. He wants to bring people. He wants the church to be what we call gay friendly. And I'm noticing now on some posts that I visited this church, but it was not gay friendly. I mean, when did we become gay friendly? Why not white friendly? Why not black friendly? Why not pornographic friendly? Why not be adultery friendly? Why do we have to be gay friendly or LGBTQ friendly to be accepted in the church world? But what's happening is we're meeting with people in the village of Ono. Instead of saying, oh, no, we're not going there, we're allowing people that are against traditional marriage. I mean, once we have marriage destroyed in America, once we are forbidding people to marry, then we are in real trouble. So if the foundation destroyed, what can the righteous do? So pastors Absolutely. Have got to say, oh, no, I'm not allowing that in. And, you know, I had Dale Allison, who's a church government man, on with me on Monday. He said churches better get themselves in order. They're going to be facing major lawsuits. And so, you know, what Satan wants to do is move the church, I believe, into a place of compromise where we are simply allowing the rules and regulations that have been established by man to govern the church. So the pastors have got to be strong and of a good courage. And if they're hirelings, Absolutely. If they're hirelings, they need to go find them another profession. I had Richard Roberts, whose dad, Oral Roberts, founded Oral Roberts University, on with me right. not long ago. And I said, why are so many men leaving the ministry? He said, well, I believe they're being heavily persecuted. Their families are tired and weary. But he said, also, I believe that one of the major situations is they're not called in the first place. They're not called to be a shepherd. They're a hireling. Right. They're not called to be right. a pastor. It's just a profession to them. And they've learned to be right. good managers. They've been learned, as Jim Wagie wrote in the song, good motivational speakers. They know how to captivate an audience. They know how to posture their words. They know how to present a good program. And so, you know, I believe there needs to be some pastors just need to get out of the ministry. They need to get out and get them a job and find them a better profession because, you know, maybe they were not called in the first place. And I believe as, you know, you're prophesying the shaking coming, and I believe as the shaking comes to America, you know, there's going to be pastors and leaders that's going to be shaken right out of their position in the church.
Yes, they will.
And,
yes, they will.
Yeah. So we're, yes, calling, we're calling America to pray.
Amen. You know, you mentioned something a minute ago about not wanting to be gloom and doom. And as you said that, the thought came to my heart. We're not Jonah. We're not disappointed if it doesn't happen, if people repent. We're Jeremiah. We want to see people repent.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a Jonah. I want to be a Jeremiah. I'm not disappointed if I tell people there's danger coming and judgment coming and they repent and we avert that judgment. I rejoice in that.
Yeah.
That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to warn of what's happening, that we can avoid the destruction that comes with it. And that's the reason sometimes you just have to, when telling the truth and giving the warning, it sounds incredibly negative. And no wonder Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he saw the danger, he saw the problem, he saw the issues, but his heart was restoration. His heart was renewal. That's the heart of God.
Yeah.
And I believe that God is heartbroken if we fail to give the warning that he has let us see. I believe that breaks God's heart. And I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to have anybody's blood on my hands. I want to see renewal and restoration.
Right.
I would love to have an America that was a virtual utopia where everybody got along.
Yeah.
We're not going to see it, but I would love to have it. I want to see us move forward for good, for faith, for family, and for freedom. That's my desire.
Well, I concur. I set myself in agreement with you, and my desire, my hope, my prayer today is that every pastor in America will begin to call his church either to seasons of prayer or at least a one day or one night a week of prayer,
Amen.
A corporate prayer time when they're gathering
Amen.
Just to pray. Corporate prayer,
Amen.
I believe, is the key. We need corporate prayer leaders in schools. We need every father or mother to be a corporate prayer leader for their family. I believe I'm in the ministry today because my dad gathered us every evening, my family, and we prayed together. We prayed corporately. Every pastor calling their church to pray corporately. Every business owner calling his employees to pray corporately. Every Christian school calling their school to pray. And young people gathering at the pole for corporate prayer everywhere.
Amen.
apartment buildings and everywhere there is corporate prayer. One putting 1,000 to flight, two putting 10,000 to flight, 300,000, 4 million, 10 a trillion, so forth and so on. So today, Roy, I implore every pastor, I beseech, petition, exhort, urge, appeal to every church in America to gather for corporate prayer at least once every week, as well as business leaders and school leaders and apartment buildings, every prayer leader to gather and pray for our nation, another spiritual awakening, pray for our president, Donald J. Trump, and Vice President
Amen.
Mike Pence and their families, because they are under under attack. I know that the other day I had Rodney Howard Brown on with me, and he's come out with a new book. It's not quite out, but he sent me a copy, an advance copy, The Killing of Uncle Sam, the Demise of the United States of America, warning this nation what's taking place. And he has been saying that there's an assassination attempt upon President Trump. He went into the office, laid hands on President Trump. He says there's an assassination attempt out for him. So we must pray, and we must not be lulled to sleep by thinking we have a president who's favorable to the church, who's favorable to Christians, who is favorable to religious liberties, and say, well, you know, it's not a problem. So it is a problem. And so we are simply sharing what is happening. Well, so we're calling people to pray. Roy, why don't you pray for you before you go? And I want to remind everybody that you can hear Roy Beard, A Word from the Wall. You won't hear anything like this on the news media, 11:55 today and every weekday on bpnradio.com. Every Tuesday, 1 and 7 o'clock, of course, those are central times where he gives discerning the times, what's really going on in America. And also, if you want to read his daily blog, he is an incredible writer. Just you can just Google Roy Beard, B-E-A-I-R-D, Roy, B-E-A-I-R-D. And, well, anything else you want to say, Roy, and I want you to pray before you go.
Father, wake us up. I ask in Jesus' name that you would stir the hearts of every believer, every pastor, every Christian. I ask that you stir us up to where we realize that we are members of the body of Christ, and help us to link our hearts and our faith with other believers, and help us to be stirred that we reach out to other people, other churches, other Christians, other homes, other families, and unite in prayer and set ourselves up to pray and fast and intercede for America, because America is a key to the freedom of the world. Lord, and I believe that the church, as Dale said, is the last line of defense, that we are what's standing between the judgment of God and the overflow of evil that's trying to come. And Lord, I ask that you protect our president, protect our yes. vice president.
Yes.
I ask that you protect their families, protect those and within his cabinet. I ask that you move on those in Congress. Lord, I just pray that you pull back the veil and expose the corruption in Washington, D.C., that the American people would be unable to deny what's going on, regardless of who it is, and help us to see that there is a dire need for us to return to you, and help us to fall on our faces and pray and repent, and then cry out to you and return to you. Lord, you said if we'd return to you, you would return to us.
Yes.
And I'm asking that you send the light of your love into America in a sweeping revival
yes.
and shut down entire cities with the move of God
yes.
and help us to be so turned and so changed that and even gangs will become saved.
Yes, God.
And we just see abortion clinics that just voluntarily shut down.
Yes,
Lord, send revival of the biblical proportion to America and
yes,
the
God.
World. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I agree with you. Thank you so much, Roy.
Really kiss from you. You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Come running back to you. Come